Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I started this last Monday talking about the believer's authority. And this is a powerful teaching. I believe that this is where a lot of Christians are making their mistake. They are asking God to do what He told us to do. He gave us authority over the devil to resist the devil. And Christians are beseeching God and not taking their authority. And Satan is winning because we aren't stepping up to the plate and taking the authority that God has given us. So this is a major teaching. This is a major thing. And I have a brand new book out on this. Entitled The Believer's Authority. It's subtitled What You Didn't Learn in Church. And we also have a study guide on this. This is nearly 400 pages. I think it's 370 or 80 pages. And it's really a great deal. It's specifically designed to help you teach a Bible study or a Sunday school class, something like that. There is some material that you read where we start the subject and start it going, and then there is a place where you ask questions. There's an answer key to those questions. There's a teacher's guide section in here. There's a list of all of the scriptures that were used in that lesson. And it is just a great way to do it. Plus, there is a CD-ROM on the inside cover of this that allows you to print this book as many times as you need. So if you have 15 or 20 people in a Bible study, you could actually print out all of the copies so that every person there could have a copy of this in their hand as you go through and disciple them. I'm excited about this because really, this kind of teaching, this subject is something that you need to meditate on. You just don't get it by hearing it. It's the kind of thing that you need to go through, and especially to be able to share it with other people, you need to be able to break it down, to discuss it. I've already covered some things in just the first 3 days this week that are so contrary to what people believe that it takes a while for this to soak down on the inside. I've been talking about how we're in a spiritual war. Before we really take our authority and use it, you've got to realize how serious the situation is. You know, I remember when I was drafted and trained to go into Vietnam. Everybody knew we were going to Vietnam. But you know, when you were in basic training, they tried to scare you and do things. And there was constant. I remember that there was just explosions going off all of the time. We were always shooting our weapons. We were throwing hand grenades. When you'd go through these low crawl pits, they'd have machine gun fire above you, and then you'd go beside a pit and they'd explode and it'd bounce you off the ground. And you know, there was just all of these explosions. And over a period of time, I kind of got used to it. And when I was in basic, I knew that they weren't going to kill me. I knew that they were wanting me to live so I could go to Vietnam and fight the battle. And even though they said this is dangerous, I knew that they were doing things in a way that, you know, you would have had to have really done something stupid to get hurt and killed in basic. And so anyway, even though there was explosions, there was rifle fire, there was all these things going on, I took it all with a grain of salt. And over a period of time, I kind of got hardened to it to where it didn't even affect me. I could sleep through things when there was explosions and stuff going on. But I remember when I got into Vietnam and when we landed at Long Binh in Vietnam, there was a mortar attack and it wasn't real close, but it was close enough that they made us get off and run and crawl to this bunker and get through this mortar attack. And we came in the middle of the night and they processed us. And after, I think it's 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I was laying on my bunk. And it was one of these metal bunks that had the springs in it and a mattress on it. And I was laying on this bunk in Vietnam. And you know what? There had been explosions going off. You could hear it in the distance. But like I said, I was used to that in basic. And I just kind of had hardened myself and it didn't mean anything to me. But as I was laying in that bunk trying to go to sleep, there, the rockets were coming in and I could hear these explosions and they were close enough to us that my bunk, those springs, I was bouncing on my bunk from the explosion of rockets and mortars. And I remember laying there and it just dawned on me that this wasn't basic. This wasn't friendly fire trying to prepare us for something and teach us. This was somebody shooting at us. They were trying to kill us, and it was close enough that my bunk was bouncing from the explosions. And you know what happened? I remember laying there and just thinking, I'm not in Kansas anymore. This isn't make-believe anymore. Somebody's trying to kill me, and they're close enough that I can feel the percussion from this thing. And you know what? I mean, I got serious. All of a sudden, it was no longer training. All of my antennas went up, and they put us through a week of training once we got into Vietnam. And you know, in basic, people half-heartedly paid attention. They were goofing around and doing things. You know what? They had our attention. I mean, I was listening to everything they said. I knew that my life could depend upon it. I mean, as they were teaching us, you could hear the explosions and all of the sounds of war going on in the background. And all of a sudden, they had my attention. I was completely committed, focused. I was learning everything they had to tell me. And the point that I'm trying to make is that there's a lot of you as Christians that haven't taken this seriously. You don't realize that we are in a spiritual war. That everything we do, every attitude, every emotion that you have, every action that you have, everything that you say, everything that you do is either yielding yourself to God and allowing Him to have dominance in your life and release His love and all of His blessing, or we are allowing Satan to have access to us through our emotions and through the things that we're doing. Now, I know that that's a very simple statement, but that is something that the average person doesn't accept. I would say that probably the majority of you watching this program, you might sit there and say, well, yeah, that's true. But in practical terms, you do not live your life that way. For instance, I can guarantee you there's some of you on your way into work. People will cut you off and you say things. You may wave at them with one finger. You may do things and you may sit there and say, well, they don't know. I mean, I didn't hurt anybody. They didn't hear what I've got to say. You're missing the point. I use this verse on our program yesterday out of James chapter 3, verse 16. It says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Did you know whether the person that cuts you off in traffic hears what you've got to say or not? Did you know that if you vent and if you do something and yield yourself to the flesh and yield yourself to anger and bitterness and things like this, did you know that you are allowing Satan place in your life? And again, where envying and strife is, there is confusion. Satan is the author of confusion in every evil work. You have just opened up a door into your life to the devil. And it's amazing to me how people don't realize that we're in a war. They don't take it seriously and they think, well, I didn't hurt anybody. You know, my daddy-in-law, he was a great guy. We had a good relationship and I liked him, but BF was, he had a little attitude problem and he was very outspoken. And I remember being with him one time and he got mad and called a guy in front of him a jerk. And he was saying all of these things and just blasting this guy. And I said something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I made a reference to that. And BF had no connection. He says it didn't hurt a person. He didn't hear what I said. It didn't affect a thing. Nobody was offended. And he didn't realize that whether anybody else hears this or not, it's affecting you. You are yielding yourself to an attitude that I can guarantee you did not come from God. That came from the devil. And it opens up a door into your life. I remember another instance where there was a guy in our church who got born again. I mean, a dramatic conversion, but he had been a total mess prior to this time. I mean, he was the first person in the history of California who was indicted by a grand jury 3 times before he was 13 years old. He was in and out of reformatories from the time he was 5 years old. He lived a terrible life, a terrible ungodly life. And when he got born again, he did get born again and he was genuinely saved. There was a change in him, but you know what? There was still a lot of things that were being worked out. And anyway, one day I went over to his house. I knew he was supposed to be there. He had told me to come over, so I expected them to be there, but I knocked on the door. Nobody came. So what I did, I walked around the house into the backyard. He worked on old cars, and he upholstered them. And so I thought maybe he was out there working on one of these cars. And when I walked around the side of the house, this guy had a fence post. And he was beating this car. And I mean saying words that I didn't even know what all of them meant. And he was blasting this car and yelling. And he was just beating the devil out of this car. And I came around the corner and this guy saw me. And all of a sudden he stops and got a twinge of conviction. You know, I was a pastor of the church. And he stopped and looked at me and he says, "It's a car." He says, "I didn't hurt anybody." He says, "It doesn't matter if I say something to a car. It's a car. It's okay. I didn't do anything wrong." And I had to start teaching him that it doesn't matter if it's a car. It doesn't matter if it's a tree. It doesn't matter if it's a dog that you're mad at. It doesn't matter whether the thing that you're mad at is a person or an inanimate object or an animal. If you are giving place to anger like that, it says in James chapter 1, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. That is an understatement. The wrath of man is actually a yielding to the devil. God is not the one who inspires us to say these things and to blast things and to do all of this. This is being inspired by the devil. And you do that, again, James 3:16, where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. You have just thrown open the door to the devil. And it doesn't matter if it's a car, it doesn't matter if it's a tree, it doesn't matter what it is, you have thrown open the door by your anger and by saying these things, and you are just allowing Satan to come in and steal, kill, and to destroy. In John chapter 10, it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy." That's talking about the devil. The rest of the verse goes on to say, "But I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." If you yield to Satan, if you yield to him, whether it's through actions, whether it's through words, whether it's through emotions, when you yield to the devil, you are yielding to Satan, the author of those things, and he is going to come steal, kill, and to destroy. In Romans 6:16, the scripture says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." When you yield to sin, and it doesn't have to be just total rebellion, it could just, you know, you could yield to depression. And I know that some of you right now are like, "Well, that's not sin." Yes, it is. The Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." It says in John chapter 16, verse 33, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." It says in John 14, 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me." It says in Philippians chapter 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 28, it says that God brought judgment upon the children of Israel because they would not praise the Lord for the abundance of all things. Because they didn't express joy and thankfulness, God brought judgment on them. God would be unjust to judge you for something that you have no control over. Again, see what I'm doing? I'm hitting up against some concepts right now that are probably hindering some people from receiving, because you're saying, "But depression, it's just a byproduct. I don't choose depression. I don't have any authority in this area." Yes, you do. Our God would be unjust to command you to rejoice in the Lord always. He didn't say when you feel like it, when everything is going good. Rejoice in the Lord always. If you aren't rejoicing in the Lord, you are giving place to the devil. You are yielding to the influence and the tendencies and the temptations of the devil. And Satan is having inroad into your life, and he's affecting you and doing things through this. You can control your emotions. Again, even a large segment of the church will say, "No, emotions, this is all humanistic. It is just natural. It's hormones. It's chemicals. I don't have any control over it." That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches in James chapter 1 that sin is conceived in your emotions. In James chapter 1, verse 14, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." If you read this in the NIV, it talks about desires. The word lust has taken on a connotation today where we just think of that as sexual, and always demonic. But the word lust, if you look it up in a dictionary, it's just a strong or overpowering desire or emotion. This isn't talking about necessarily demonic lust for a person that's not your mate. Matter of fact, the scripture in Galatians chapter 5, I believe it's verse 16, says the spirit lusts against the flesh and the flesh lusts against the spirit. In that instance, you know that this isn't talking about some sexual desire. It's just talking about that the Holy Spirit has strong emotions and wants us to be separated unto God and is jealous over us. And so the word lust here is literally talking about in your emotions. And notice, it says every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, desires, emotions, and enticed. And when your lust, your desire, or your emotions hath conceived, it brings forth sin. This verse is saying that sin starts in your emotions. Most people are looking at the actions of sin. They don't want to go out and commit adultery, but they will indulge all kinds of emotions that conceive and lead towards the birth of the act of adultery, and they don't make this connection. They think, well, all I've got to do is just stop the birth. Well, this is like a woman who doesn't want to have children, but she takes no authority, no responsibility over her own actions. And so she has relationships constantly and she allows people to impregnate her. But then she doesn't want the birth. And so she uses abortion to stop it. And she does all these things. Most people would say that's irresponsible. That's not what you're supposed to do. And I agree. But you know what? Spiritually, Christians are doing the same things. They allow their emotions to go places they should never go. They read things, they watch things that conceive lust, emotions in their heart, and then they try and keep from acting it out. I remember a Bible college student that came to me one time, and his wife had severe depression. And so he brought her into my office, and I was talking to her. And she was basically telling me that ever since she was a little girl, she had severe depression. And for 1 month or 2 months out of a year, she would just be depressed. And then she'd snap out of it and she was okay. And she was acting like there was no big deal. And I was saying, look, this is serious. You need to stop this. And she was basically saying, no, this is the way I am. She had accepted it. See, she didn't realize that there's a spiritual war going on. And she didn't realize that when you indulge depression, that you are conceiving something. And I tried with everything I had to show her these scriptures and to tell her that every time you give place to depression, every time you let your emotions go south, I don't care what your justification is, you are conceiving something. And then you aren't going to like the birth of this. It's the devil that's conceiving those negative things on the inside of you. And you're trying to stop the birth. You don't want to act it out, but you don't want to take any responsibility for the conception. That's as irresponsible as a woman who has physical relationship with a man all of the time and yet just can't understand why she gets pregnant and why she's giving birth. She doesn't want the children, but she loves the relationship. That's not the way that it works. You have to take authority over yourself. And I'm telling you that if you have negative emotions, there are times that some of you know that you're wrong. You know that you shouldn't be griping. You know that the Bible says rejoice in the Lord always. You know that strength and power is in joy. You know this, but you feel something so passionately that you just feel like, I'm just going to vent. I'm going to let all of this out. I know I shouldn't, but I just think I'd feel better if I do it. I felt that way. I remember a time that I went to Pritchett, Colorado. There was 10 people in this church. I went there, we saw a man raised from the dead, and the church grew from 10 to 100 people in a town of 144 people. I gave up everything. For the first time in my life, I could see light at the end of the tunnel, and it wasn't a train. It was actually the end. And I was seeing success when I was in Childress, Texas, and I left all of that and went to this little tiny place called Pritchett, Colorado. If it wasn't the end of the world, you could see it from there. It was that close. I went there, laid my life down, gave up everything that, you know, I'd been able to accumulate, everything that was going good in my life. I left it to go to this little tiny place of Pritchett, Colorado. And within 6 months, the people were wanting to string me up, lynch me. They hated me. They were circulating rumors that I was having an affair, that I was getting drunk, doing drugs. They lied about me. They said anything and everything. And I just got tired of it. And you know what? I was going to have a pity party. I mean, I was waiting on Jamie and the boys to go to bed. And I had determined I was just going to get down and gripe and complain and tell God how upset I was over this. I knew it wasn't right, but that's the way I felt. And I just wanted to do it. And you know, while I was waiting on Jamie and the boys to go to bed, praise God, the Holy Spirit began to encourage me. And by the time they finally got to sleep and I was ready for my pity party, I went down and just started praising God and decided I was going to do what the Word says and I wasn't going to indulge my flesh. And so I can relate to what many of you feel, but I'm telling you, it's wrong. I'm saying that you conceive something every time you have a negative emotion. Every time you just indulge your desire to gossip. Every time you sit there and just say, well, I'm discouraged. I know I shouldn't say this, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Every time you give in to the devil, you need to recognize we're in a war. And it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. If you really understood that we were in a spiritual war, if you really understood that Satan is just looking for an inroad into your life, just a crack in the door, he's wanting an opportunity to come in and just destroy your life. If you really knew this and understood that indulging these negative things is giving place to demonic spirits and attitudes, and that whatever you do, you're going to conceive something that's going to bring forth a birth that you don't want. If you really knew that, if you really believe that, I guarantee you, you'd act differently. And see, this realization that I'm talking about is what caused me not to go ahead and have that pity party, even though I'd sent out all of my invitations, even though all of the demons in Colorado had gathered to just let me vent and take advantage. Praise God that the Holy Ghost kept me from doing that and saying these things that would have caused negative things in my life and ministry. I'm telling you, you need to recognize you're in a war. You need to take some responsibility. You need to take the authority that's been given us, and we need to stand up and recognize that you can't just do what you want to do. When I realized I was in Vietnam, you know what? I started acting differently. I didn't necessarily want to be in Vietnam. I didn't want to be doing those things. But the fact was I was there and I had to act accordingly. And if I would have acted the same way that I did when I was back in the States and wasn't in a war zone, I could have gotten killed. I had to act. I didn't like it. I didn't want to be there, but it was the reality. You may not want to face the fact that you're in a battle, but you are. And you ignoring it is not going to make you exempt. All it's going to do is guarantee that you lose. You need to receive these truths. You know, the teaching that I'm giving here, I've got a brand new book and study guide out on this, a CD, a DVD set. I'd like to encourage you to please get them. Our announcer is going to give you some information about how you can get these materials. And please call or write and get these materials. And then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book T327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. Request book T735. The Believer's Authority Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request Study Guide T427 when you contact the ministry. Andrew's complete teaching titled, The Believer's Authority, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on DVD for a gift of any amount. Request DVD album T3205D when you contact us. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV. It's available on either CD or DVD when you send a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1045C or DVD album T1045D when you contact us. The first teaching in the audio CD album titled, We're in a Spiritual War, is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. Request teaching number TL18 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, what I was sharing today is just a very, very brief summary of some points, and I have so much more material on this. I've got a website that, of course, lists all of our material, and one of the good things about the website is that you can get the things that we're offering there free. We have hundreds of my teachings available as free downloads that you can get as MP3s. We also have about 10 years worth of television programs, probably 13 or 14 years worth of radio programs that are free and that you can watch or listen to right there on the web. I've got books, articles, just a wealth of information. I've got a Bible commentary that you can get right on the web. It would be a tremendous blessing to you. We have that address on your screen. I encourage you to check it out today. I'd like to invite you to come join me at the East Coast Christian Center in Merritt Island, Florida, if you live anywhere remotely close to the Florida area. I've been going to this church for over 10 years, and Pastor Dan and Carolyn Stahlbaum are just tremendous people. They're great friends. You would really be blessed. We're going to have great services. We've got four services on Sunday, 3 in the morning, 1 at night. And then on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we'll be holding services at 7 p.m. each evening. And this is located at 680 North Courtney Parkway in Merritt Island, Florida.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd, and Chicago, Illinois, for a Gospel Truth seminar May 7th through the 9th. He'll also be in Amsterdam for the Eurospirit Conference, May 21st through the 23rd, Raleigh, North Carolina, for a Gospel Truth Seminar, June 11th through the 13th, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, June 29th through July 3rd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.